inspiring interviews with today's top landlords.
This is the Rental Income Podcast.
And now, Dan Lane.
Tom, I'm interested to see what you're doing with your rental property. So you're buying properties not for cash flow today. You're buying rental properties as part of your retirement plan, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So what I did is when I left a company, I had some retirement money and I rolled that into another retirement account, which allowed me to buy real estate. And now I'm just using all the cash flow from those properties, now multiple properties, to pay down the loan. So I'm not taking any money out right now.
On the podcast today, we're going to figure out how Tom was able to take his old 401k and start buying rental properties with that money. We'll talk about some of the positives and the negatives to doing this. And we'll also talk about some of the IRS regulations you should be aware of so that you don't get hit with a big tax penalty. Joining us on the show today from Sacramento is Tom Manning. We'll take a really quick break to thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll talk to Tom. It's a lot of work to find a really good rental property. And when you actually find that property, you want to make sure you're working with a lender that can get that loan closed. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender and her specialty is helping investors finance rental properties. She has a ton of loan programs and she can find something customized to you for your situation. If you want to find out more or you're ready to get started today, just go to RidgeLendingGroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E LendingGroup.com. NMLS 42056.
Rental Income Podcast.
Before we get into the interview, I just want to point out that the tax law can be very confusing. Things are constantly changing and the tax laws can be very unforgiving when it comes to retirement accounts. So if you make a mistake, you might not be able to fix it. So make sure you talk to your CPA and make sure that you have their guidance before you take any action with anything that we talk about on the podcast today. All right, let's get into the interview. So, Tom, I feel like when you're opening up a retirement account and you're going to invest in the stock market, I feel like that's pretty straightforward and pretty simple. But buying rental properties in your IRA seems a bit more complicated to me. Was it hard for you to set it up?
No, not at all. I did a little bit of research, and there's multiple options that you have for investing in real estate through a retirement account. So I looked at IRA LLC, custodial IRA, and what I landed on was a solo 401k for a number of reasons. It's easy to set up. The fees are very low. And it's easy to administer. Okay. So it's really worked out very well for me.
So you basically, when you left your job, you just rolled your 401k at your job into the solo 401k. And then once the money was in there, then you use that then to buy properties?
Yeah, that's exactly
okay.
I used an administrator to set up the paperwork, which I can't remember. This is about 5 years ago. I think it cost $600 or $700 for the administrator to set up the paperwork.
Okay.
And then once it's set up, you have a tax ID, you have a name, you can call your solo 401k, whatever you want. And then you literally take all that paperwork and go into a bank. I went to a Wells Fargo right around the corner and open a checking account and roll your funds from either your company-sponsored 401k or an IRA into the solo 401k. So it's very simple.
Are there a lot of ongoing expenses or is that $600 to get it set up? Is that really the only expense?
Yeah, the ongoing expenses are very low. There's, you know, annual tax filing stuff. We all have to file our taxes. So I have an accountant who does that, but it's no more complex than doing a simple tax return.
Okay.
The fees are very low. Then you just have your normal checking account fees, which I think for my account, I don't think there are any monthly fees, or
okay,
if they are, they're very low, just like a normal checking account, as long as you have your minimum monthly balance.
And there's no other crazy paperwork you need to do or anything like that?
No, it's just that tax filing. My accountant does it. I look at it just like doing your income tax.
Right. But
she does it all and it's a couple $100 and I take a look at it, sign off. It seems pretty straightforward.
Do you need enough cash in the solo 401k to buy a property with cash, or can you get financing?
You can get financing.
Okay.
Those lenders are a little bit harder to come by. the traditional lenders like the banks do what's called a non-recourse loan. And they won't give you as much loan to value as you can get for a traditional purchase. You know, 60 to 70% would be the absolute most that they will do. So you're going to have to put down, you know, plan on 40% to be safe, maybe even 50% in some cases.
All right. Yeah. So that's a much bigger down payment. So instead of 20%, you're putting down 40%. Okay.
That's right.
Okay. Awesome. Well, let's take a look at exactly what you did. And then I've got some other questions here about it, but I want to understand what you did. So how much money did you roll over from your old 401k into the solo 401k?
So I started off, when I left the company I'd been working at for a number of years. And so just to give everybody some context, this was when I was about late 40s. So I've been in corporate America for a long time. I'm 54 now. So I rolled over a portion of my savings from that company 401k, which was about $400,000 to get started.
Okay. And for anyone listening, if you don't have $400,000, don't think you can't do this. I mean, it, like Tom said, he had been working for a long time. He had built up a good 401k, and he had some money in there to put to work. But I mean, Tom, do you agree? Like, you don't need $400,000 to get started.
Definitely not. Okay. No, definitely not.
Awesome. Okay, so you got the $400,000 rolled in there, and then what's the next step? Like, what did you do next?
Yeah, so then you literally, it's kind of weird because now you have a checking account with $400,000 in it, right? So it's time to go shopping. So I had a real estate agent at the time. I'm a realtor now, a real estate broker, but at the time I wasn't. So I had a real estate agent. I found a lender because I didn't want to spend all my money on one property. And then we just went shopping for properties and landed on a duplex in East Sacramento, which for anybody who's not familiar, East Sacramento is a very nice area of Sacramento. It's close to downtown. It's beautiful houses that were built in like the mid 1900s. It's a really nice area. So okay. About the duplex, which was a fixer. It needed a lot of work.
All right. Now, with doing the work, is that something that you can do yourself, or are there restrictions on how the work has to be done and how you have to pay your contractors?
Yeah, there are restrictions. That's a good question. So there are certain limitations with the solo 401k. So to qualify to have it, you have to be self-employed and not have employees. So this is really for people who are in the gig economy. And then there are limitations about the work that you can do. So you can manage the property, but you can't actually do the work yourself. So you can't do the fixing up. You can't do the lawn maintenance, which for me was perfect because I don't want to do that work anyway.
Right. Okay. So, all right. So today you self-manage the properties, you take the rent. If a tenant calls, you take the call, but then you can't go over and fix the leaky faucet. You've got to call a handyman to do that.
That's right.
Okay.
So I had a general contractor that did all the work with the rehab. So just paid them, very simple.
Okay.
And now we completely rehabbed it. So knock on wood, there have not been a lot of repairs, but little things go wrong. I send over a handyman, they fix it. I pay the bill out of the checking account, write a check or pay with a debit card from the solo 401k account.
Okay.
As simple as that.
All right. And did you buy that property with cash or did you finance that?
That was financed. So it was 50-50.
Okay, so 50% down payment.
It was around $500,000, so I put down $250,000 and borrowed $250,000.
Okay.
And I think the rehab was around $50,000.
And then paying the mortgage payment, that's not paid by you. That's paid out of the money that's left over in the solo 401k, right?
That's right. It all comes out of that Wells Fargo checking account.
Okay, so the rent comes in. So your tenants pay rent, and that money is ultimately ending up in almost like a contribution to your solo 401k, right?
Tax-deferred contribution, right. That's right.
Okay. All right. Awesome. All right. So you got that property up and running, and then what did you do next as you continued to buy more properties?
Yeah. So the next move, so I got the property fixed up, paid down the mortgage for a couple of years. And then I kind of went to the opposite extreme. I was looking for a very low income property for higher cash flow reasons. And I was investing outside of my solo 401k. I was investing in an area north of Sacramento. So I started looking for properties there. and landed on a property that was a small house with room to build another house on the lot. So that's what I ended up purchasing.
And so building the house is the property you bought, this is like an ADU, like a smaller unit.
Yeah, accessory dwelling unit, sometimes referred to as an in-law unit. So California has kind of loosened up the regulations because of the housing crisis. They're looking for ways to add more inventory. So loosening up the restrictions for the ADU is one of the things that they've done. So I took advantage of that and looked for the right kind of property, which is typically, if you're going to build a second house, you want good accessibility, which means you either want to be on a corner or you want to have a lot that backs to an alley, which is what I did.
Yeah.
So I bought a house on a lot that backs to an alley.
With the ADU, like how much did it cost to build that?
The ADU all in was right around $250,
almost $250
exactly.
To build it. So you were you.
That's everything. That's the permitting. I hired a general contractor who was great, did a fantastic job, built the whole thing, the appliances, the landscaping, like literally every imaginable cost came out to right around $250.
Okay. And is it a complicated process to get the permits you need and getting everything figured out? Is that complicated?
Well, it wasn't complicated for me because I hired a general contractor who has experience building.
Oh, smart.
Years.
Okay.
So they did everything.
They know what to do.
I'd made decisions. Like I gave him some idea about the design of the house, but I specifically told him I'm not going to live in this house. So I don't want to be involved in every little decision about, you know, what kind of fixtures to use in the bathroom. Just decide all that. I don't want to be involved. And this contractor was fantastic. You're always going to hit a few bumps along the way. But they were pretty minor for my first ground up construction. You know, whenever you're doing something for the first time, you're going to learn a little bit. But yeah, it went very smooth. I was very happy with
awesome.
The outcome.
Okay. All right. So then ultimately you ended up with the original house you bought and the ADU. So then how did the financing work for that purchase and for the ADU?
Yeah. So what I did there was I refinanced the duplex. So fixed it up so the value went up. So I was able to just do a cash out refi, paid off the first loan, took some cash out, and then just used all cash for the purchase of the property and building the ADU. So there's no loan on that property. The entire loan is on the first property I started with. So it's kind of the Burr method for anybody who's familiar with the Burr, buy, rehab, rent, refinance, repeat. I'm doing the Burr within my solo 401k.
That is incredible. A Burr within your solo 401k. I love that. That is really awesome. All right. So you've got that free and clear. And then do you own anything else?
Yeah, I own properties outside the solo
401k. Okay. But in the solo 401k,
that's it.
You've got those two properties.
So right now I just finished this project the end of last year. So now I'm just focusing on paying down the mortgage and maybe, you know, a year from now, I may go into Burr number three. We'll see how it goes. But for right now, I'm happy to sit back, collect the rent, and just kind of take a break from that whole process and focus on other things.
So you've got four rent checks coming into your solo 401k. How much do the rent checks total up to every month?
It's right around $7,500 a month.
Okay. And then you've got one mortgage. How much is the mortgage payment?
Mortgage is about $2,500 for principal and interest.
Okay. And you said you're making extra payments. So like how much extra do you pay?
I pay about another $2,500 a
okay,
month.
Okay, so double payments.
Yes. Okay. To get it paid off, the current projection is to have it completely paid off within 5 years.
Okay. And how long total have you owned that property for?
The duplex I bought around 5 years ago, four or five years ago.
Okay, so within 10 years, you're going to get that paid off.
Yes, 10 years.
I think that's smart because I'm thinking, all right, the rent money is coming into your solo 401k. And if you weren't paying down the mortgage, that would just be cash that was sitting there, right? Like you wouldn't really be earning much on that, right?
No, you wouldn't be earning much on it. It would be in a checking account. There are other things you can do with the money. And that's the nice thing about a solo 401k is you have so much flexibility. For example, just like an employer-sponsored 401k, you can borrow it, which I've also done. You can borrow money from your 401k and then pay that back with interest, and you pay the interest back to yourself. So it's a really good deal.
Yeah. So if you wanted to, you could borrow money from the solo 401k and then use that maybe as a down payment for a property outside the 401k if you wanted to.
That's exactly what I did.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. So why did you do that? Like, why did you buy outside of the 401k versus just putting another property in the 401k?
Well, the loan to get outside the 401k is a little bit easier. You know, the loan to value is higher and the interest rate you can get is lower.
Okay.
So it was just one of those things. I just looked at all the options and I felt like that was the best option at the time.
So do you think, I mean, so knowing what you know now, like you own properties inside the solo 401k, you own properties outside, do you think it's a good idea? Like, are you glad you did this?
Definitely. For me, it's worked out really well. I've learned a lot. And I was looking for a way to diversify outside of the stock market, not to get completely out of the stock market, but I was literally 100% invested in the stock market with my retirement funds. That's really, you know, where you're going to get solid returns.
Right.
It's hard to make money in bonds and other stuff. So I just wanted something to diversify out. I didn't completely get out of the stock market. I still have money in there. But I wanted something that was a little bit more tangible, you know, where I can drive down the road and point to it and say, yep, I own that. I'm collecting rent every month. So that's what I like about
it. Yeah. All right, so I'm just thinking here. Okay, so right now you've got $7,500 a month in rent coming in. You've got your mortgage payment of $2,500. You're making an extra $2,500 in payments. So there's $2,500 that you're setting aside. Is that for repairs and for the taxes for the free and clear property and insurance? Is that
it's exactly. It's mostly property tax. And then insurance and utilities is a couple hundred a month, not very much. And then the reserves for the repairs, maintenance, vacancy.
Okay. And is that working out that you're making double payments? Is that very consistent that just about every month you're able to pay $5,000 a month towards the mortgage?
It's very consistent, okay. Yes.
So, all right. With that being said, then, like when you get to retirement, you should easily be able to pay yourself $5,000 a month in today's dollars.
In today's dollars, yeah. And that's the other thing I like about the real estate investment is that it really is inflation protected.
Right, exactly. Income. Rent is
as inflation goes up, rents will go up. So yeah, so $5,000 in today's dollars.
That is great. Now, what happens if, say, something big comes up? You know, maybe you have to put a roof on or it maybe replace an HVAC unit and you don't have enough money in reserves. What happens? Like, can you add money to the solo 401k?
And yeah, and that's a good thing about the solo 401k. The contribution limits are pretty high. It's actually $60,000 a year.
Oh, okay.
You're contributing as an employee and as an employer. So you can contribute up to $60,000 a year. So that's one way if a big expense came up. To make a contribution, I could roll over from another IRA to cover the funds, or I could do another refinance. You know, one of the houses is paid off, so I could refinance that house to raise some money.
Right. And then you could also finance a big repair. I mean, like for an HVAC, I replaced an HVAC a couple of years ago, and you know, the HVAC guy offered 0% financing for a year. So I guess there's other ways to cover the money, but I guess the big thing is you just can't use your personal money to pay for it.
Definitely not. Right. That is considered a prohibited transaction. So you cannot do that.
Okay. So is there any downside? Is there anything bad about the solo 401k? I mean, it sounds all great, but is there anything are there any negatives to it?
I think the biggest disadvantage is you don't get the depreciation tax savings.
Yep.
So that's one disadvantage. If you're investing in real estate outside of a tax deferred account, you get the depreciation every year. You get to write that off and save some income tax.
Yeah.
But so that's one disadvantage.
But then the trade-off to that is you're not paying tax on the rental income anyway. So yeah, like you lose that write-off, but none of the rental, you're only getting taxed when you actually start withdrawing money when you retire.
That's right. So I think the benefits far outweigh that one disadvantage.
Yeah. If you have any follow-up questions and you want to connect with Tom, I've got his contact information on the website, Tom is also a realtor in the Sacramento area, and he also owns a property management company. If you're thinking about investing in Sacramento, I would definitely recommend reaching out to Tom. I think he would be a great resource for you. I've got his contact information on the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode382. I'd like to thank today's sponsor for making this episode possible. It's Chailey Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. Chailey is a nationwide lender, and her specialty is helping investors finance rental properties. She has a ton of different loan programs, and she can find something customized to you for your situation. If you want to find out more or you want to set up a time to talk to Chailey, you can track her down at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com, NMLS 42056. Thank you so much for checking out the podcast today. I put out a brand new episode every single Tuesday, so make sure you hit that follow button and you'll be notified as soon as the next episode comes out. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.